Welcome back to Songs for FRCR. Today we're doing liver tumours, both benign and malignant. It is going to be our last episode before the exam. We're going to be focusing on local teaching and our own revision. We will, of course, be back after the exam doing lots more episodes and podcasts. That's, of course, Five with When the Lights Go Out, one of my favourite songs as a child. And let's talk liver tumours. But before we do, again, we're going to do our shout-outs. We've had lots of lovely emails that I do want to read. The first shout-out is to Dr. Georgiana Zemphir. You didn't say whereabouts in the world you were from in your email, but you did say that no words can describe your immense gratitude at the interstitial lung disease episode because you can finally understand it. We're so happy to have helped you. We honestly really enjoy and really happy and humbled to be helping you guys in your radiology journey. You also complimented my voice, which was a lovely, lovely, lovely thing to do. And the rest of the team will tell you I have been very big-headed and actually insufferable since your email. So thank you, Georgiana. We hope you keep listening. And let's do another email. Let's say hi to Dr. Sandeep Awal from India, who I believe is sitting the 2A exam in June and is a regular listener of the podcast. Hello to you, hope you're doing well, and hope you're enjoying today's episode. Your emails make us really, really happy, and we could actually sit here and read them out all day. But alas, exam is approaching, and we do have to talk about liver tumours, so let's do that. We had some trouble thinking of a song, but we did get a few emails and some good suggestions, and we had this wonderful suggestion, which is a very, very catchy tune. I've not heard it before, but I really like it now. So let's go. Liver tumours in a nutshell.
So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there's this letter I read. If you like piña colada, you're getting caught in the rain. If you're not into health food, but are into champagne. I'm the love that you look for. Write to me and escape.
Right, we're going to start with the malignant liver masses, and I think I found a good way to help you remember all the important points that you need to know. We're going to start with the daddy of liver cancer, HCC. Who gets hepatocellular carcinoma? People with cirrhosis and people with hepatitis. I would say any hypervascular liver mass in a patient that has cirrhosis or hepatitis needs to be a HCC until proven otherwise, and that should be your first choice in an exam question. But what do we have to remember about HCC? Well, HCC, the letters sort of make the word heretic. A heretic can also be called a fanatic, and fanatic is your mnemonic for the main things to remember about HCC. So the F stands for fat, i.e. there is no fat. You will not see fat, and very unlikely you will see hemorrhage in a HCC. The second letter is A. A stands for alpha fetoprotein AFP. 75% of people with HCC will have a raised alpha fetoprotein. The N in fanatic stands for a nodule within a nodule appearance. This can happen when you have a dysplastic nodule with an enhancing nodule within it, and that represents an early HCC. So we've done FAN. The next A is arterial enhancement. A HCC will enhance in the arterial phase and wash out in the portovenous phase. The next T is for T2. A HCC is hyperintense on T2 weighted MR. And finally, oh no, there's two more. I is for invasion. A HCC invades locally. It will invade the portal vein, the IVC, bile ducts. In contrast to local invasion, metastatic disease tends to not invade locally. And finally, C is for capsule. HCC has a capsule. So that was HCC, the main points you need to know. HCC, I'm going to repeat it, sort of sounds or has the right letters to make the word heretic. Heretic, another word for fanatic. Fanatic is your mnemonic for HCC. F is for fat or lack of fat. You won't see fat in hepatocellular carcinoma, nor will you see hemorrhage. A is for alpha fetoprotein raised in 75%. N is the nodule within a dysplastic nodule appearance. So an enhancing bit within a known dysplastic nodule represents early HCC. The next A is arterial enhancement and portovenous washout. The next T is high T2 signal. I is for local invasion of the portal veins, the IVC and the ducts. And finally, this last C is for a capsule. That is HCC. Repeat that to yourself a couple of times and we'll listen to some music and come back with the next one. Thank you to those of you who emailed the suggestion for this song. It is incredibly catchy. Right, we're done with HCC. We know the main points. We're moving on to a subtype of HCC called fibrolamellar HCC. Now, lamella sort of has the right letters to make the word lament. What does lament mean? Lament is an expression of grief or an expression of sorrow. People that are grieving or full of sorrow are likely to consult a psychiatrist, and psych is your mnemonic for the features of fibrolamellar HCC. But what does it stand for? The P stands for pseudocapsule. Now we know that HCC has a proper capsule, but a fibrolamellar HCC doesn't have a proper capsule. What this does is there's lots of compressed normal liver tissue surrounding it, and we call that a pseudocapsule. So P is pseudocapsule. The S is for scar. A fibrolamellar HCC has a central scar. because it's called a fibrolamellar HCC, the scar is fibrous and it is hypointense on both T1 and T2. So a low T2 and T1 signal, hypointense fibrotic central scar. S is the second letter in our mnemonic for fibrolamellar HCC. Y, what does the Y stand for? The Y stands for young. So this is younger people than those that get regular HCC. And these people do not have a history of cirrhosis. So young people, no cirrhosis is the Y. And next is the C. C stands for capsular retraction. What is capsular retraction? Well, the normal liver contour is nice and round and convex. If you have multiple foci of concavities or areas where the liver is pulled inwards, that's called capsular retraction. And fibrolamellar HCC is one of the causes of capsular retraction. The others we will cover in a few minutes. And what are we up to? Finally, the H. H is just a description of a HCC. It will look like a heterogeneous large lesion. By the time they're diagnosed, they tend to be pretty big. Unlike with HCC, you don't get a raised AFP. That's why A does not feature in our mnemonic. So let's cover fibrolamellar HCC again. We said lamella sounds a bit like lament. Lament is to express your grief. And these people are likely to see a psychiatrist. Psych is our mnemonic. P stands for pseudocapsule. You will see a pseudocapsule in most fibrolamellar HCCs, which is just compressed normal liver tissue surrounding the lesion. S stands for scar. There is a central fibrotic scar, which will be low signal on both T1 and T2. Y is young. These are young people with no evidence of cirrhosis. C stands for capsular retraction or multiple nodular appearance or concavities of the liver surface. And finally, the H stands for heterogeneous large lesion. You do not have a raised AFP in fibrolamellar HCC. That's it. So that took the whole of 3 minutes. Let's go from the top to remind ourselves of HCC and fibrolamellar HCC. So HCC was our first malignant liver tumour, the most common and occurs in patients with cirrhosis. As I said already, a hypervascular liver mass in a patient with cirrhosis or hepatitis is a HCC until proven otherwise. I do have a small caveat, which I didn't mention before, that 10%, 10 to 15% of HCCs are actually hypovascular and won't be enhancing within the arterial phase. However, let's get back to our mnemonic. So HCC sounds like heretic. Heretic is also another word for fanatic. Fanatic is our mnemonic for HCC. F is for fat or lack of fat. There's no fat and no hemorrhage usually in a HCC. A is AFP, raised in 75%. N is the nodule within a nodule appearance, which is an appearance of an enhancing nodule within a dysplastic nodule. The next A is arterial enhancement with portal venous washout. Remember, I've just said that 10 to 15% of HCCs will not have arterial enhancement as they'll be hypovascular. T is the T2 high signal. I is local invasion of the IVC, the bile ducts and portal vein, which you often don't see with metastatic disease. And the final C is a capsule. We then moved on to fibrolamellar HCC, a subtype. Lamellar sounds like lament. Lament is to grieve. And people who are grieving may see a psychiatrist. Psych is our mnemonic. P is for a pseudocapsule, not a proper capsule, just lots of compressed liver tissue surrounding the lesion. S is for scar, a fibrotic central scar, which you can remember because it's called a fibrolamellar HCC. The scar will be low signal on T1 and T2. The Y is for young. These are young patients with no cirrhosis. C is for capsular retraction. So multiple focal concavities in the normally, which should be a convex, smooth liver surface. And finally, heterogeneous large lesion is the H. Phew, that is HCC and fibrolamellar HCC. We're going to have a musical break and we'll be back in a few seconds with a next. So this song was suggested by a listener, and I only really skim read the lyrics. It's not a song that I know, and it seemed fairly appropriate. Pina coladas, alcohol, liver cirrhosis, etc. However, I'm listening to the lyrics now as I'm doing the recording, and my goodness, this guy is awful. So this chap is in a relationship with one person, is reading and answering a personal ad in a newspaper. By the way, who knew that was even a thing? And then is going to meet this other woman in a bar. I really hope the way this pans out, I hope she walks in, sees him, tells him he's ugly and then leaves. Anyway, let's get back to liver tumours and see how this idiot's story pans out also. Although HCC is the most common primary liver tumour, the most common liver tumour overall that you'll be seeing is of course metastases. Now, where do metastases get their blood supply? The tumour initiates angiogenesis and the blood comes off branches of the hepatic artery. Although metastases are supplied by the hepatic artery, they are mostly hypovascular and we use the portal venous phase of scanning to visualise Mets. So I've said that metastases are hypovascular and need portal venous phase scans. There are, of course, exceptions to every rule, and you'll just have to come to terms with that. Exceptions make excellent exam questions. Exams, of course, occur at the end of every term at school. Why do I keep saying the word terms? Because terms is your mnemonic for hypervascular liver metastases. What does terms stand for? T is thyroid, E is endocrine, so pancreatic neuroendocrine lesions and carcinoid. R is renal cell carcinoma, M is melanoma, and S is sarcoma. Now you see why I kept repeating the word terms. I wasn't going mad, I was trying to create a word association in your brain. So from the top, hepatic metastases are usually hypovascular and need portal venous phase scanning. There are exceptions to this rule, and the mnemonic to remember the exceptions is terms. They are thyroid, endocrine, which means pancreatic neuroendocrine and carcinoid, renal cell carcinoma, melanoma and sarcoma. Now most adenocarcinomas, like most other liver mets, are hypovascular, like I've said, and need portal venous phase scanning. A few more points on liver metastases. First of all, calcification. If you see calcification in a liver met, your two most likely differentials are mucinous colorectal tumours or serous ovarian tumours. Say that again. Calcification within liver metastases, your two most likely culprits there are mucinous colorectal tumours and serous ovarian tumours. The next thing to remember is how liver tumours appear on MRI. So metastases on MRI tend to be low on T1 and high on T2, as you would expect. The final term I want to mention regarding liver metastases is something called pseudocirrhosis. Now, we all know cirrhosis gives the liver a nodular contour. Pseudocirrhosis is when you get that nodular contour caused by metastases, specifically caused by serous metastases. Serous means hard and slow growing. So these hard, slow growing liver metastases create a nodular liver contour, which looks a lot like cirrhosis, so it's called pseudocirrhosis. The way to tell apart cirrhosis and pseudocirrhosis is you will often get capsular retraction with pseudocirrhosis, because those liver tumours, those multiple serous metastases, are causing this retraction of the liver capsule. The most common cause of serous metastases causing pseudocirrhosis is treated breast cancer. Remember that. And let's take this from the top. Metastases, we've said, are all hypovascular, unless, of course, they are one of our mnemonic terms. Thyroid, endocrine, which is pancreatic neuroendocrine and carcinoid, renal cell, melanoma and sarcoma. Most adenocarcinomas and most other tumours are hypovascular and best appreciated on portal venous imaging. If you see calcification in liver metastases, the most likely culprits are mucinous colorectal tumours or serous ovarian tumours. On MR, most liver mets will be low T1, high T2. And finally, pseudocirrhosis is the appearance of cirrhosis caused by multiple serous metastases. These are hard, slow-growing metastases, and the most common cause of this pattern is treated breast cancer. If you see capsular retraction associated with the pseudocirrhosis, then that suggests pseudocirrhosis over proper cirrhosis. And all that talk of capsular retraction leads us on nicely to the causes of capsular retraction. Now, if you were listening, I've already mentioned two causes. So I've just mentioned that treated breast cancer will give you capsular retraction because of the pseudocirrhosis. And I also said fibrolamellar HCC would give capsular retraction in 10% of cases. Now, apart from the two that I've already talked about, there are four more causes of capsular retraction, which of course you need to memorise. But we've just done 5 minutes of talking. Let's have a little musical break and we'll come back and talk about those. Hang on, so this woman that he was answering the personal ad to was actually his own partner. So they're actually as bad as each other. They deserve each other. Let's get back to liver tumours. So let's talk capsular retraction. I've already discussed what it is, but I'm going to repeat it because a bit of repetition never hurt anyone. Capsular retraction. The normal liver surface should be nice and round and smooth with a convex contour. If you have lesions or any cause of pulling in of that liver contour with multiple focal concavities, that's called capsular retraction. We've already mentioned two causes of this. Right at the beginning, I said that fibrolamellar HCC will cause capsular retraction in 10% of cases. And the second thing I said was that pseudocirrhosis, or treated malignancy, most common treated breast cancer, is a cause of capsular retraction. Now, those two aside, there are four more you need to learn. So when you see capsular retraction, you know that trouble is brewing or trouble is cooking. Who cooks? Chefs cook. And chef is a mnemonic for the four extra causes of capsular attraction. So the first C in CHEF is cholangiocarcinoma. Intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma is a cause of capsular attraction. The H is hepatocellular carcinoma, or regular HCC, not the fibrolamellar type. The reason I didn't say this in the original HCC talk is because it's very, very uncommon. It's possible, and there have been case reports, but it is in the realm of case reports and not commonly. So I'll mention it as a possibility, but don't think it shouldn't be your first port of call in an exam. So H was HCC. E is epithelioid hemangioendothelioma. That's a bit of a mouthful. What is it? So epithelioid hemangioendothelioma. Imagine a liver. Now imagine lots of multiple spherical lesions, subcapsular spherical lesions that then ultimately become one big confluent mass. That is basically an epithelioid hemangioendothelioma. It's a very rare vascular cancer. And like I've said, you get these multiple spheres, multiple lesions that lie in a subcapsular location, and ultimately they become confluent. The individual lesions can have a target appearance or a halo sign, and it's the second cause in our list of capsular attraction, or third cause. And finally, F is fibrosis. So you can get wedge-shaped fibrosis that causes capsular attractions. So that's pretty much it for malignant liver tumours. Let's just take it from the top. I know it's getting boring, but it's going to help you remember. So from the beginning, HCC, hepatocellular carcinoma, is a tumour of cirrhotic livers. And HCC sounds a bit like heretic, heretic or fanatic. Fanatic is your mnemonic. F stands for fat or lack of fat. You won't see fat in a HCC. You most likely also won't see hemorrhage. A is alpha fetoprotein raised in 75%. N is nodule within a nodule appearance. So an enhancing nodule within a dysplastic nodule. Remember, dysplastic nodules don't normally enhance in the arterial phase. Next, A is arterial enhancement. Most HCCs, apart from the 10 or 15% that don't, most HCCs will enhance in the arterial phase and wash out in the portal venous phase. T is high T2 signal. I is invasive locally. It will invade the portal vein, the IVC, and bile ducts, which metastases won't do. And C is a capsule. So HCC is fanatic. We then moved on to fibrolamellar HCC, a subtype of HCC. Lamella sounds like lament, to grieve, and these people may well want to see a psychiatrist. Psych is your mnemonic. P is pseudocapsule. Not a proper capsule, just lots of compressed liver surrounding the lesion. S is for scar, a fibrotic scar of fibrolamellar HCC, which is low signal on T1 and T2. Y is young, these are young people that don't have cirrhosis. C is capsular retraction in 10% of cases. And H is heterogeneous large mass. We then moved on to hepatic metastases, which we said most are hypovascular and need portal venous phase scanning. However, there are exceptions to those terms, and terms was the mnemonic for the exceptions. Thyroid, endocrine tumours, particularly or specifically pancreatic neuroendocrine and carcinoid. R was renal cell carcinoma, melanoma and sarcoma. The other points regarding metastases were that most other tumours, most adenocarcinomas, are hypovascular. If you see calcifications, your two most likely culprits are mucinous colorectal tumours or ovarian serous tumours. Next, we said most hepatic mets are low T1 and high T2. And finally, we talked about pseudocirrhosis, which is the nodular appearance of the liver caused by serous metastases. The most common cause of these serous metastases is treated breast cancer. These serous metastases cause this nodular appearance that looks a lot like cirrhosis. If you see associated capsular retraction, then that suggests pseudocirrhosis over cirrhosis. And finally, we moved on to capsular retraction. Now, we already mentioned two causes, which were these serous metastases or treated metastatic disease and fibrolamellar HCC in 10%. There are four more. We said when you see capsular retraction, you know that trouble is brewing or trouble is cooking like a chef would cook. Chef was the mnemonic. C is cholangiocarcinoma, intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma. H is hepatocellular carcinoma, regular HCC. Have that in the back of your mind, but it should not be your first differential. E is epithelioid hemangioendothelioma. Remember, these were the multiple spherical subcapsular lesions, which may have a target or a halo sign, and they often ultimately coalesce to form one big lesion. It's a rare vascular malignancy and a cause of capsular retraction. Finally, F is for fibrosis. So you can get multiple foci of wedge-shaped fibrosis that cause capsular retraction. And that's it for malignant liver tumours. Let's take a musical break and we'll come back and do the benign liver tumours. So let me get this straight. They were both prepared to cheat on each other, both got discovered, and they both laughed about it and went off on holiday. This is a very, very dysfunctional relationship. Okay, liver tumours. Let's move on now to benign liver lesions. And the first we're going to do is FNH, focal nodular hyperplasia. Now, while FNH, of course, stands for focal nodular hyperplasia, in my talk, it also stands for female, not malignant, not associated with the contraceptive pill, and H is hyperplasia, or lots of disorganized liver tissue. So FNH is the name of the lesion, but I'm also using FNH to give you some clues about the lesion. So female, N is the two nots, so not associated with the contraceptive pill and not malignant. It has no malignant potential. And the H is hyperplasia, or lots of disorganized liver tissue. So this disorganized liver tissue, it's a bit like a scab. So a scab on the liver. And funnily enough, a scab is the mnemonic we're using for all the other things that you need to know about FNH. The S in scab stands for scar. Now, FNH has what is termed a scar. It's not a proper scar like the one, the fibrotic scar of fibrolamellar HCC. This scar is actually just T2 hyperintense ductules and venules. It has a scar, but remember, it does not have a capsule. The C in FN in scab, stands for contrast. You need contrast in CT and MRI to be able to visualize FNH. The A stands for arterial enhancement. So an FNH, like I said, you need contrast to see it. When you do give contrast, it will enhance avidly during the arterial phase and it will wash out very, very quickly. When you get to the portal venous phase, or you'll see complete washout of the lesion and you'll see an unenhanced central scar. The central scar will only enhance in a delayed post-contrast scan. Finally, the B in scab stands for both. What do I mean by both? Well, FNH contains both Kupffer cells and bile duct cells. Kupffer cells, remember, will show up on a sulfur colloid study a third of the time. They both begin with Kupffer and colloid. And bile duct cells you'll see on a HIDA scan. HIDA has a D in it, and its bile duct cells also has a D in it. So FNH from the top. FNH is the first of the benign liver lesions we're doing. FNH stands for focal nodular hyperplasia, but also stands for female, not associated with the contraceptive pill, and not premalignant. And the H stands for hyperplasia, or lots of disorganized liver tissue. Disorganized liver tissue is a bit like a liver scab or a scab on the liver, and scab is the mnemonic I'm using to help you guys remember the other features of FNH. S is for scar. FNH has a central scar. It's not a proper fibrotic scar, it's just T2 hyperintense ductules and venules. C stands for contrast. You can't really see contrast, you can't really see the FNH, sorry, without contrast on CT or on MR. A stands for arterial enhancement. FNH will enhance avidly in the arterial phase and wash out very, very quickly. In the portal venous phase, it will have already washed out, and you will see the central scar, which is completely unenhanced in the portal venous phase. The central scar enhances in a delayed post-contrast phase. Finally, the B stands for both, because FNH contains both Kupffer cells and bile duct cells. The Kupffer cells you will see on a sulfur colloid study, cut and cut, a third of the time, and bile duct cells you will see on a HIDA scan. That is FNH. Let's take a break. Okay, hemangioma is next, and you don't need a mnemonic to remember this stuff. Hemangioma is very easy. It's very characteristic, and an exam question should be easy marks. You're practically guaranteed one question on this in the exam. So, what is a hepatic hemangioma? It's a mass of blood vessels, so completely benign, mass of blood vessels supplied by a branch of the hepatic artery. That's nice and easy. What else we need to remember about hemangioma? Like its predecessor FNH, it's common in females, and it's also associated with not having cirrhosis. So it's uncommon in cirrhosis. If you actually have a patient with a hemangioma who goes on to develop cirrhosis, the hemangioma will involute as the cirrhosis progresses. So it's almost inversely related to cirrhosis. They can get pretty big, up to or bigger than 10 centimetres, and if they get really big, they can have a central area that's not enhancing, and that's due to cystic degeneration. The most important thing I'm going to tell you now is what's going to be key in an exam, and that is enhancement pattern. So it's practically pathognomic of a hemangioma, is when you give contrast, you have nodular peripheral enhancement. So around the edges of the lesion, you get lots and lots and lots of nodules of enhancement, and then it starts to fill in centripetally. So take away one thing from hemangioma. Actually, no, take away everything that I'm saying, because it's very easy. But remember, this is the most important thing. Pathognomic imaging feature of hemangioma is the pattern of enhancement. When you give contrast, you will see peripheral nodular enhancement with progressive centripetal fill-in on the later phase images. I'm going to say it again so you have no excuse. A hemangioma will fill in a nodular fashion around the outside edge, and then the fill-in will go towards the centre. Without contrast on a plain CT, it's just a hypoattenuating lesion. You can't really differentiate it without contrast. So hemangioma from the top, what is it? It's a benign lesion, a benign mass lesion of lots of blood vessels coming off a branch of the hepatic artery. It's common in females and it's not common in cirrhosis. In fact, has an inverse relationship with cirrhosis. They can get pretty big. The really big ones may have a central non-enhancing area due to cystic degeneration. Pathognomic imaging feature is peripheral discontinuous nodular enhancement with progressive centripetal fill on later images. Let's do benign lesions from the top. FNH stands for focal nodular hyperplasia, but it also stands for female, not associated with the contraceptive pill and not malignant, and the H is hyperplasia, or lots of disorganized liver tissue. Disorganized liver tissue is like a liver scab. Scab is the mnemonic for all the other stuff you need to know about FNH. S stands for scar. It has a central scar, not a proper scar, but a T2 hyperintense venules and ductules scar. The C stands for contrast. You need contrast to be able to see FNH. Without it, you don't see much on CT or MRI. A is arterial enhancement. FNH will enhance very avidly and very rapidly in the arterial phase and will wash out very quickly. By the time you get to the portal venous scan, the FNH is pretty much isointense to the liver. On the portal venous scan, you will see the central scar. You'll see it as a non-enhancing area in the center, while the rest of the FNH is isointense to liver. And you will then see the scar enhance in the delayed post-contrast phases. Finally, the B stands for both. FNH contains both Kupffer cells and bile duct cells. Kupffer cells you can spot on a sulfur colloid study, both start with the sound K. And bile duct cells you will see on HIDA scan. We then moved on to hemangioma, very, very easy. A mass of blood vessels coming off a branch of the hepatic artery, common in females, inversely related to cirrhosis. You will see very large ones sometimes. The largest ones tend to have a central non-enhancing area caused by cystic degeneration and the pathognomic imaging feature. I've said this 500 times now. The pathognomic imaging feature of hemangioma is peripheral nodular discontinuous enhancement with centripetal fill on the delayed phases. Take a break, we'll do the last benign liver lesion, and then I might even go over everything from the beginning. Finally, we move on to hepatic adenoma. What is a hepatic adenoma? It's a benign mass consisting of hepatocytes and Kupffer cells. There are no bile duct cells in hepatic adenoma. I'll say this again. Hepatic adenoma is a benign mass consisting of hepatocytes and Kupffer cells, no bile duct cells. If you remember, FNH contained both Kupffer cells and bile duct cells. So a good test to differentiate between FNH and adenoma would be a HIDA scan. Remember, HIDA is positive with bile duct cells. So FNH would be positive on HIDA because it contains the bile duct cells, whereas an adenoma, which does not contain bile duct cells, would not be positive on HIDA. Is that clear as mud? I'm going to say it one more time. So a HIDA scan identifies bile duct cells. Adenoma is a mass comprised of only hepatocytes and Kupffer cells, no bile duct cells. So adenoma would not be positive on HIDA, whereas an FNH would be. And that's a good way to differentiate them. So what else do we need to know about hepatic adenoma? First thing, it's more common in females. Every single benign lesion I've done, FNH, hemangioma and now adenoma, are all more common in females. Unlike FNH, adenoma is associated with the oral contraceptive pill, prolonged use. It can occur in males also, in which case it's associated with use of anabolic steroids. The next really important point about adenomas is hemorrhage. Hemorrhage is the most common presenting feature of hepatic adenoma and obviously would give you a high T1 signal on MR. FYI, if adenomas are discovered incidentally, they are usually resected because of the risk of hemorrhage. The other important thing that adenomas contain is fat, so hemorrhage and fat. The best way to spot the fat on adenoma is to do in and out of phase MR imaging. Remember the in and out of phase gradient echo imaging? That looks for the presence of fat, intralesional fat. And what happens is, in the in-phase image, when you have a voxel that contains both fat and water, on the in-phase image, the two signals are summed together. And in the out-of-phase image, the signals are subtracted. So if a lesion contains microscopic fat, you will have signal loss in the out-of-phase images. Finally, adenomas are hypervascular on the arterial phase images because they don't have any portal venous drainage. So, from the top, we're going to do adenomas. Adenoma is a benign neoplasm which is made up of hepatocytes and Kupffer cells, no bile duct cells, so it will be negative on a HIDA scan. And it's a good way to differentiate adenoma from FNH. Now, adenoma is more common in females, like every other benign lesion we've done, and is associated with the oral contraceptive pill. If it occurs in males, it's associated with the use of anabolic steroids. Two things you will see in an adenoma are hemorrhage and fat. Hemorrhage is the most common presenting feature and will obviously give you a T1 hyperintensity. Fat is also present in an adenoma, and what you'll see is signal loss in the outer phase gradient echo images. Finally, adenomas don't have any portal venous drainage, so they are hypervascular on the arterial phase scan. Now, it stands to reason that if an adenoma does not contain hemorrhage and does not contain fat, it's going to be very difficult to differentiate that from other hypervascular liver lesions. Last two small points about hepatic adenoma. It often has a pseudocapsule. Remember, that's not a proper capsule, just compressed hepatic parenchyma surrounding it. And finally, you can get multiple adenomas in von Gierke disease. I think it's pronounced like that. It's a glycogen storage disease. So let's do everything from the top. We'll take a small musical break first, and then we'll go over the whole lot, both malignant and benign neoplasms. I won't do it in great detail, but I think it's worth just rehashing the main points so it can stick in our memory. Okay, I hope you're nice and refreshed. So, deep breath, here we go, all the liver lesions. I'm going to try and talk pretty quickly. We started with the malignant liver tumours, and the main one was HCC, hepatocellular carcinoma. HCC sounds a bit like heretic, and another word for heretic is fanatic. Fanatic was the mnemonic that I was using to remember the main points of HCC. They are F as in fat or lack of fat. There is no fat and usually no hemorrhage in a HCC. A is alpha fetoprotein present or raised in 75% of cases. N is the nodule within a nodule appearance. A is arterial enhancement with rapid washout. T is T2 hyperintensity. I is local invasion of portal vein, bile ducts and the IVC. And C is a capsule. We then moved on to a subtype of HCC, fibrolamellar HCC. Lamella sounds a bit like lament, to express your sorrow or grief. Someone expressing their sorrow or grief is likely to visit a psychiatrist, and psych is our mnemonic for the features of fibrolamellar HCC. P stands for a pseudocapsule, not a proper capsule. S is a fibrotic central scar, which is low on T1 and T2. Y is young patients, younger than HCC, with no history of cirrhosis. C is capsule of attraction, and H is the description of it. It's a heterogeneous large mass lesion. We then talked about metastases, and the terms that we were familiar with is that most hepatic metastases are hypovascular and best visualized on portal venous phase scanning. Now, there are some exceptions to the terms that we know, and terms was the mnemonic for those exceptions. Thyroid, endocrine, i.e. pancreatic neuroendocrine and carcinoid tumours, renal cell carcinoma, melanoma and sarcoma are the exceptions. These are the hypervascular metastatic lesions. Remember, most adenomas and pretty much every other met is hypovascular and visualised best in the portal venous phase. A few other things we mentioned at the time were the idea of serous metastases. Serous metastases are slow-growing, hard metastases which give the image or the picture of pseudocirrhosis. That's when you have lots of lesions causing a nodular liver contour. A good way to differentiate pseudocirrhosis from actual cirrhosis is with the presence of capsular retraction. So when the liver capsule is retracted inwards, that suggests pseudocirrhosis or a malignant lesion causing it. Finally, I did say calcified liver metastases suggest either a mucinous colorectal tumour or a serous ovarian tumour. We then talked about capsular retraction itself. So there are 6 causes of capsular retraction to know, and 2 I had already mentioned. I had said that fibrolamellar HCC causes capsular retraction, as does serous metastases. The most common cause of serous metastases was treated breast cancer. So treated malignancy and fibrolamellar HCC were the 2 causes of capsular retraction we had already covered. We then had 4 more, and I told you whenever you see capsular retraction, you know trouble is brewing. In other words, trouble is cooking, and who cooks? A chef cooks. So chef was the mnemonic for the 4 extra causes of capsular retraction. The first was cholangiocarcinoma, then HCC, although I did warn you that is very uncommon and in the realm of case reports. E was epithelioid hemangioendothelioma. That was the multiple spherical subcapsular malignancies which often coalesce to form a single large mass lesion. Each individual spherical lesion often has a halo or a target appearance. And finally, F was for fibrosis. That was all the malignant ones. We then moved on to the benign liver lesions, starting with FNH. FNH, I decided, stood for female, not associated with oral contraceptives, not malignant, and H was hyperplasia, or disorganized liver tissue. The disorganized liver tissue is a bit like a scab on the liver, and scab was the mnemonic for the other features of FNH. S is a scar, a central T2 hyperintense ductules and venules scar. C was contrast. You need contrast to really visualize FNH on both CT and MR. A was arterial enhancement and rapid washout. By the time you get to portal venous phase, the FNH is isointense. All that you'll see is a hypoattenuating or a low intensity scar. The scar, the T2 hyperintense scar, will enhance on the delayed post-contrast images. And finally, B. B stands for both, because FNH contains both Kupffer cells and bile duct cells. Kupffer cells you will spot on a sulfur colloid scan a third of the time, and bile duct cells you will see on a HIDA scan. We then moved on to hemangioma. This is just a bunch of blood vessels, a mass of blood vessels, which come off a branch of the hepatic artery. As with other benign lesions, all the benign lesions, it's more common in females, and it has an inverse relationship with cirrhosis. They can get pretty big. If they're really big, they can have a central and non-enhancing area, which is due to cystic degeneration. And for the 550th time, the pathognomic imaging feature of hemangioma, I guarantee you'll get this question in your exam, is peripheral nodular discontinuous enhancement, which will then have gradual centripetal fill-in on the later phase images. Almost there, we finished off with hepatic adenoma. Remember, adenoma is a benign lesion. It's composed of hepatocytes and Kupffer cells, no bile duct cells, so it will not be positive on the HIDA scan. Again, like with all the benign lesions, more common in females, and it is associated with the oral contraceptive. You can get them in males, in which case they're associated with the use of anabolic steroids. There are two things you will see in a hepatic adenoma: hemorrhage and fat. Hemorrhage will obviously give you T1 hyperintensity, and hemorrhage is often the presenting feature of adenomas. With the fat, you can see the fat on the in-phase and out-of-phase gradient echo images. Remember, when you have fat and water within the same voxel, then the in-phase images is when they're both summed up, the signals are summed up, and in the out-of-phase images, the signals are subtracted. So if you have microscopic fat, in the out-of-phase images, you will have signal loss. That's how you spot the fat in the adenoma. So the hemorrhage of an adenoma will give you T1 hyperintensity. The fat, the microscopic fat in the adenoma, will give you signal loss on the out-of-phase gradient echo images. It stands to reason, like I said before, if the adenoma does not have fat or hemorrhage, because it's a hypervascular lesion that doesn't have a portal venous drainage pattern, it will be very, very difficult to differentiate adenoma from other hypervascular lesions if it doesn't have fat or hemorrhage. Finally, it often has a late enhancing pseudocapsule, and you can get multiple adenomas in von Gierke's disease, which is a type 1 glycogen storage disease. Phew, that was all the malignant and benign liver tumours you need to know. I hope it was useful, and I hope the little mnemonics and stories help you remember this for your exam. Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed that episode, and I hope you learned lots. As I said at the beginning, this will be the last episode before the exam, because we'll be focusing on more local teaching. Thank you so much for all your emails, your comments, your compliments, and all your messages. We really love reading them. We say this every week, but we honestly do genuinely love reading them. It makes us really happy to know that we're helping people, and that's why we take so much time out of our working week to do it. As the UK trainees will know, ARCPs are coming up in a couple of months. For those of you not from the UK, ARCPs are annual reviews of a registrar or a resident's training, and they're done by the training panel. If you guys would like to drop an email with your name and where in the world you're from, and just what you think of the podcast, we will be collating all your emails and your reviews and any reviews that you leave on Apple and anywhere else, and putting them together on our CV for our trainers to see. So if you do like what we do, please do drop us an email. We will keep doing them, but after the exam. We're not just being lazy. Each episode does take a lot of work. It takes a lot of reading from textbooks, radiographics articles, Radiopedia, and everywhere else, collating the information that we gather, putting it into a nice, memorable format for you, like coming up with mnemonics and things. This does take a fair number of hours in our week, and so it's not something we can do during the exam time when we have lots of other things to be doing. But I promise we'll be back after the exam, so early June. The exam is on the 6th of June. After that, we'll be back with lots and lots more episodes. We do have the quiz, which has been recorded, just needs editing, so we may well be able to publish that in the next couple of weeks. So we'll end once again with a thank you. Thank you so much for your emails, your tweets, your voice messages. We do respond as quickly as we can. We love reading them, so please do keep sending them. If you're doing the exam in June, then the very, very best of luck. We hope you pass. We hope you do really well. We obviously want you to pass, otherwise we wouldn't be making these podcasts. So the very, very best of luck. Have a great few weeks, and we will see you on the other side of the FRCR 2A exam. Sayonara, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.